whatever you think of the Bernie Sanders candidacy, it's driven elite media to some serious pearl clutching that serves to illuminate the core values those media represent every day, election or no election. So we have David Brooks, the voice of sensible Republicanism at the New York Times and on the PBS NewsHour and NPR, declaring in his February 9th Times piece that he misses the traits of character and leadership possessed by Barack Obama. Brooks doesn't like Trump's or Cruz's hatefulness, but what bugs him about Sanders is that he's, quote, so blinded by his values that the reality of the situation does not seem to penetrate his mind, close quote. That's unlike Obama, who promotes his values, quote, as much as he can within the limits of the situation, close quote. Pundits like David Brooks rarely take time to excavate who gets to determine the limits of the situation and whether or not that right is justifiably obtained. Instead, we're encouraged to embrace the status quo, which Brooks says, if we were only honest, we would acknowledge is pretty darn good. Sanders, Trump, Carson, and Cruz alike, Brooks writes, wallow in the pornography of pessimism. They'd have you think the country's on the verge of complete collapse, when in reality, quote, we have problems, but they are less serious than those faced by just about any other nation on earth, close quote. And that's the real tell. Brooks looks at a country with the most pronounced income inequality among wealthy nations, the largest trade deficit in the world, the highest gun-related murder rate in the developed world, a place where 1,000 people were killed by police last year compared to one in England and Wales, an infant mortality rate higher than Slovakia or Guam, not to mention Japan and Iceland, life expectancy worse than Lebanon or Greece, and moving in the wrong direction for one sector, middle-aged white people, largely due to increases in suicide, opiate overdoses, and cirrhosis. And Brooks sees a place where people with complaints should recognize that those complaints aren't serious. Well, you could note that that's less than surprising for a journalist who wrote recently about a luxury world tour he took and how it was hard to decide whether to have a second bottle of free champagne. But we should also be mindful of letting people that blinkered serve as arbiters for the merits of resigning oneself to the limits of the situation. Last week, Counterspin talked about conflicts of interest in coverage of the food industry. We were talking then about academics who take money from agribusiness being quoted by media without that disclosure. But sometimes it's the reporters themselves that raise concerns. Tamar Haspel is a food columnist at The Washington Post, but as Stacey Malkin writes for Fair.org, she also does a fair amount of paid speaking gigs for industry interest groups, including those promoting genetically engineered foods. That financial relationship is not always disclosed to readers, and its acknowledgement might help them process work like the column Haspel wrote in late January, in which she said that the surprising truth about the food movement is that there really isn't much of one at all. Most people, she says, don't really care about labeling GMOs. Her proof is that while polls routinely show that if you ask people if they want GMOs labeled, upwards of 90% say yes. But if you just ask them what they would like to see identified on labels, only 7% volunteer GMOs. At which point you are presumably meant to say, aha. Well, one of the surveys Haspel cites to support this comes from the International Food Information Council. That's a group supported by the food, beverage, and agriculture industries, though she doesn't spell that out. They rely on a survey designed by a professor from North Carolina State, Thomas Hoban, who himself is not totally keen on how his work is being used. Since the majority of people just don't know very much about GMOs, Hoban says, the findings don't so much say that they don't care about them as that the government needs to do a better job educating people about what's in their food. One might add that journalists could help with that education effort rather than pretending that the lack of awareness equals wholehearted acceptance. Finally, Americans are divided in many ways, but there are some points of convergence, one of which seems to be hatred of the cable company Comcast. Notoriously terrible customer service, a pricing system described as absurd, a stranglehold on internet speeds, all of that garners the cable company a remarkable amount of dislike and distrust. And that played a role in quashing its effort last year to merge with perennial runner-up for worst company in America, Time Warner Cable. You would think, therefore, that it would be bigger news that Americans who hate Comcast, largely for reasons related to its bigness, are now facing the possibility of essentially another Comcast. The harms from a possible merger between Charter Communications, Time Warner, and Bright House Networks were detailed in a piece for BillMoyers.com by Michael Copps. He's not a stranger to the issue, but the former chair of the FCC. And Copps says that this new mega company would control about a third of the nation's cable and cable broadband markets, would also own programming, including regional sports networks, and would dominate some of the biggest media markets like New York and Los Angeles. Worse, since the new company wouldn't compete in any markets with Comcast, they'd have no incentive to compete, but every incentive to coordinate against shared competitors, including those offering independent and diverse voices. Least surprising, the deal would start the new company off with some $27 billion in debt, a time-honored incentive to raise prices and cut services. And why not? Because where else will people go? Where there's still time to speak out against this Charter merger, one place you can file comments with the FCC is nomoremergers.com. You're listening to Counterspin, brought to you each week by the Media Watch Group FAIR.